Today, mixed signals drives markets into a spin. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one of the latest posts covering finance and property news. This is our weekly market update, where we start in the US, across to Europe and Asia, and end in Australia, and we cover commodities and crypto along the way. And thanks to followers who responded to my observation made last week, that despite this being, for me, one of my most important shows each week, it gets less attention than others on the channel. So it's nice to know that you are indeed getting value from it. But please like and share. This past week was driven by the usual suspects, including chaos in the Middle East as the Iran negotiations unwound, and as the US threatened to impose multiple economic measures against Iran. That led to higher oil prices, with the Brent oil futures up more than 6% and the European LNG futures up 10.5%, both signalling inflationary pressures, while other transit routes are also under pressure from military action, or in the case of the Panama Canal, low water levels. Analysts at Jefferies caution that the Hormuz standoff has no clear resolution in sight. Iran would not give up control over the strait, and US would not accept Iran charging tolls through the strait. It's become a waiting game to see who blinks first. And in addition, this week bond yields, though volatile, drove higher again on even bigger US debt, requiring issues this week to be sold at a premium, with the 10-year up more than 1% on Friday, while the US 30-year also rose. Rates also rose in Germany, with their 10-year up around 2% across the week, the UK up more than 1.5%, and the Japanese 10-year up 2.8% for the week. The Aussie 10-year also rose on Friday. These bond yields reflect the need for governments to borrow more to fund ever bigger spending. Higher demand from bigger AI firms to fund their massive investments, and investors seeking greater rewards for the perceived risks that they are taking. Rising money supply and higher interest rates, of course, are both inflationary. Perhaps this is one reason why gold futures rose more than 11% over the past month, though they're still well off previous highs. Markets, though, are still being buoyed by the massive AI investment bets, with the MSCI Global Index up for the week, though down a bit on Friday, a trend mirrored on the All Asia ex Japan Index, although the Stoxx 600 in Europe did slide across the week. And the ASX 200 in Australia also had a down week. It dropped 1.6% for the week and was down on Friday too, as we face into the results season with mixed results so far. Wall Street ended slightly lower on Friday, with market participants suggesting an unexpectedly weak retail sales report from the US Census Bureau, falling in July by 0.6%, that's the most in more than a year, and also weaker consumer sentiment from the University of Michigan's preliminary August sentiment index, which slid to 51, as signs of a slowdown in the main engine of the economy overshadowed optimism around bets that the Federal Reserve will stay on hold in September. The main indices put in a mixed weekly performance. The benchmark S&P 500 did advance after a string of economic data helped to reduce Federal Reserve rate expectations, and it slipped 0.2% to 7,785.76, modestly below the record high that it set earlier in the week when it topped 7,800 points for the first time ever. The aggregate earnings of S&P 500 companies surged 52% in the second quarter, with much of that gain coming from, yeah, you guessed it, Amazon, Microsoft, and other AI heavyweights. The benchmark US index is valued at around 20 times expected earnings, which is up from about 19 times at the start of July, but below the 22, which was there at the start of 2026. The tech-heavy NASDAQ Composite slipped 0.3%, to settle at 26,729.16 points, and the blue-chip Dow Jones Industrial Average shed 0.2% to end the week at 53,732.41 points. For the week, The S&P was up 0.4%, while the Nasdaq added 0.1% and the Dow declined 0.6%. Much of the focus this week was on the key US inflation data. Wednesday's Consumer Price Index showed a deacceleration in annual headline and core figures, with headline US CPI slowing to 3.4% year-on-year, and the core indices ticking up at a slower pace. And also the Producer Price Index report the next day showing monthly headline wholesale inflation was flatlining around 0%. Two of the three reports, actually, that we got in the week are in the bad news is good news category, because a weak labour report, that was from last Friday, and an even weaker retail sales report, which came out on this Friday, are bad news for workers and consumers, but potentially good news for the stock market, because it reduces the urgency at the Fed to raise rates to fight too high inflation. Interest rate odds have reacted accordingly to the inflation retail sales data, with the chances of the Fed holding rates steady in September rising to about 67% from nearly 56% a week ago, the probability of a quarter point hike reduced to around 33% from around 44% a week ago. Looking away from the economic calendar, the technology sector was another major theme for the week. After sliding in June, the artificial intelligence trade made a strong comeback at the end of July and into the beginning of August. Chip stocks, which have been the primary driver of the AI trade, logged a stellar start to this month after a more than 20% slide in July. They lost steam this week, though, amid a lack of major AI-related earnings, although they still eked out gains. The semiconductor index, though, continues its recovery this week. The tech stories of the week included SanDisk, which jumped nearly 14% on Thursday after the memory major provided an upbeat long-term outlook at an analyst event, and the stock continued that momentum into Friday, rising 7.4%. Memory peers Western Digital and Micron Technology also rose. On the other hand, Cisco Systems slid on Thursday after the networking equipment giant's strong quarterly results were overshadowed by sky-high expectations, and similar lofty projections weighed on shares of Applied Materials on Friday, despite the chip-making tools supplier outlining plans to ramp up manufacturing to satisfy runaway AI-driven demand. And they fell 5.1% after its upbeat quarterly forecast failed to impress investors. The chip equipment makers' shares, though, have doubled in 2026 due to strong demand relating to the build-out of AI data centers. NVIDIA made some news in the AI space this week, as the world's largest company signed memorandums of understanding to mobilize an amazing $50 billion in third-party capital for AI infrastructure, teaming up with some of the biggest players in global finance, including Apollo, BlackRock, Blackstone, Brookfield, Goldman Sachs, and KKR. NVIDIA stock notched a weekly gain of 0.5% despite the widening exposure to AI. With investors nervous about high valuations of AI-related stock, chip makers also dropped on Friday, with Broadcom down 5.9% and Intel down 2%. Elsewhere, Reddit surged almost 13% after the social media company was named a new addition to the S&P 500 index from August the 18th, and Workday dipped 3.8%. The stock soared 18% on Thursday after Reuters reported that private equity firm Silver Lake was in talks to acquire the software firm. Shares of some drone makers gained after President Donald Trump said late on Thursday he would impose tariffs on imports of drones and their components. Red Cat rallied 8.8% and Unusual Machines soared 25%. The volatility index was down 2.6% to 1425, which was a new six-month low. The US dollar eased with the DXY at 99.67 after the weaker US sales data, while the euro US dollar rose 0.36% and the US dollar Japanese yen reached 159.32, with the prospect of more intervention ahead after a Reuters report that the Bank of Japan could raise rates as soon as September. European shares finished lower on Friday and snapped a four-week winning streak as rising crude prices and renewed geopolitical tensions offset support from a resilient earnings season. The pan-European Stock 600 fell 0.2%, and the benchmark ended the week down around 0.4%, snapping a four-week winning streak. That's the longest stretch of consecutive weekly gains since April. Regional performance diverged, with Germany's DAX up 0.5%, while the French CAC 40 and the London FTSE both traded around 0.2% lower. The weekly pause followed a summer rally that pushed European indices to all-time peaks, driven by expanding corporate earnings and resilient regional activity. However, beneath the surface, Wall Street's major strategy desks are clashing over whether the region's equity multiples have expanded too far in the face of elevated real borrowing costs. Software heavyweights led continental exchanges on Friday, with shares of SAP and Sage Group surging between 3 and 8%, and the sector caught a strong bid as duration-sensitive growth stocks reacted to cooling US inflation metrics, which helped cap sovereign bond yields. Strategies at Barclays view the European macro setup as increasingly compelling, arguing that continental fundamentals are heating up as activity data defies stagnation fears. And Barclays noted that even as US data had softened modestly, the EU macro backdrop remains surprisingly resilient, with economic surprises continuing to trend higher. And Barclays noted that with global investors seeking to diversify artificial intelligence exposure beyond concentrated US mega cap technology, European equities offer less demanding positioning and valuation entry points, alongside strong corporate paybacks. On the other hand, according to the Bank of America, European equities have posted a remarkable 12% gain year to date and a 35% surge over the past 2 years, and strategists there pointed out that earnings per share expectations have climbed to record highs. The rally has compressed the European equity risk premium to a 25-year low, leaving valuations increasingly sensitive to discount rates. Rising real bond yields have been a headwind for equities, Bank of America strategist wrote in a note to clients, pointing out that the US 10-year real yield, the benchmark discount rate for global risk assets, remains at a 20-year high at 2.4%, but they see scope for that pressure to fade as US payrolls cool and core inflation moderates, projecting nominal 10-year yields to decline towards 4.5%. British stocks declined on Friday, remaining under pressure as most European indices fell. Mining stocks remained the FTSE's sharpest drag, with Antofagasta deepening its falls to 4.6%, leading to declines followed by Glencore and other mining stocks, including Endeavour Mining. British insurer Aviva beat first-half profit expectations as its combination with motor insurer Direct Line and strong growth in its wealth management businesses boosted earnings. In Asia, Asian stocks were modestly higher on Friday, keeping the region on track for its strongest weekly performance since the middle of June, as softer US inflation continued to reduce expectations of that Federal Reserve rate hike, and we saw an extended technology rebound. South Korea's KOSPI rose 2.4%. That's rebounding now 23% from its late July trough, and it's now firmly out of the bear market phase, triggered at the time by its worst monthly decline since the global financial crisis. Volatility has eased, and regulators have tightened rules around single stock leverage ETFs, including minimum cash deposit requirements and mock trading rules, while retail investors have reduced margin borrowing. Daily turnover in those leverage products have fallen sharply, helping to bring volatility down to its lowest level since April. The chip rebound actually is doing most of the work, with Samsung Electronics climbing 5.09%, SK Hynix gained 7.58%, and LG Innotech jumped 4.47%. Investors are also looking beyond earnings towards shareholder returns. Expectations are that Samsung and SK Hynix will soon announce stronger payout plans, and that supported the rebound too. So the KOSPI may have exited bear market territory, but the still large gap from its June peak and the fragile retail and foreign flow backdrop does mean the recovery remains vulnerable to yet another shift in AI sentiment. Japan's Nikkei 225 climbed 0.6%, and the TOPIX gained 0.5%. Japan's chip complex strengthened, with Kioxia Holdings up 3.4%, TDK was flat, and Sony jumped 5.2%, while Murata Manufacturing slipped 0.5%. Meanwhile, the Shanghai Shenzhen CSI 300 and the Shanghai Composite Indices traded pretty flat. Hong Kong's Hang Seng dropped just over 1%, though. There were pockets of strength in Chinese chips, with Semiconductor Manufacturing International Corporation up 2.2% after its second quarter earnings showed strong AI-related demand and helped lift parts of the broader semiconductor sector. NetEase gained 1.8% in Tencent and in 0.5%. And the broader China tech picture was a bit weaker, with Baidu falling 1.55%, Alibaba dropped 2.3%, and JD.com plunged 10% after its earnings showed revenue fell year on year for the first time in more than a decade, underscoring lingering pressure on Chinese consumer demand. India's Nifty 50 closed slightly lower too. The Australian share market ended the week lower after the exchange's two largest stocks, Commonwealth Bank and BHP, both recorded heavy sell-offs as the local earnings season intensified. The ASX 200 closed down 0.8% to 9,115.2 on Friday, with six of the 11 sectors weaker. Despite paring back on intraday losses of more than 1%, the exchange ended the week 1.7% lower after a 3.3% decline in BHP at $61.35, dragging the index down as traders pared back holdings ahead of the result next week. That came in on top of another 1.1% slide in CBA shares to 167.17 after the bank fell 2.2% on Thursday. Westpac and Commonwealth Bank, two of the three big banks to report results this week, led the ladder of most traded stocks for the week. Westpac was the top traded stock on the ASX for the week by volume, followed by CBA. CBA was the top traded stock by value, with Westpac fourth. Unlike ANZ, the other major bank to report this week, with NAB's earnings, by the way, due on Monday, both Westpac and CBA fell in the days following their results as investors digested the double-digit drop in mortgage applications that all three reported following the federal tax changes in May. Westpac has fallen 2.9%, paring back a 5.9% loss on the results day. QBE Insurance dropped 1.6% to $23.09 after posting a largely flat profit for the first half to June 30th. Baby Bunting rose 5.8% to end the day at $1.28, paring back an earlier gain of 16% after posting a 17.5% increase in annual net profit. The retailer also flagged an expected increase in pro forma net profit for the current financial year. And Ainsworth Game Technology added 4.2% to close at $1.12 after agreeing with Aristocrat's technology wing to patent some of its products and selling historic claims relating to the use of those patents. The Aussie was at 70.86 US cents and 52.35 UK pence. In crypto, Bitcoin fell below 63,000 US on Friday as a delay in a major planned government measure for tokenizing securities largely offset optimism over no imminent interest rate hikes following soft US inflation prints. The world's largest crypto took a weekly loss of around 3%, weighed down by the disclosure of yet more sales by top corporate holder Strategy. An advance in oil prices amid a diplomatic impasse in the Middle East also kept a lid on risk sentiment. Bitcoin was last at $63,047. The US Securities and Exchange Commission is set to further delay its planned innovation exemption for tokenized securities after the White House and Wall Street raised concerns over the proposal's legal footing and market impact, CoinDesk reported on Thursday. The exemption had been expected to be unveiled in part on Friday, but the SEC cancelled that meeting late on Thursday. One source told CoinDesk the White House feared the move could complicate ongoing congressional negotiations over the Digital Asset Market Clarity Act. Industry insiders have been told that the effort may need to wait for the outcome of that legislation. SEC staff have also grown more focused on whether the agency has the legal authority and economic analysis needed to justify such relief. The Clarity Act is a key piece of crypto legislation that has faced numerous delays in the past year amid rampant opposition from banking groups and consumer advocates. Delays in passing the Act, which aims to set a regulatory framework for the crypto industry, has also weighed on crypto prices. And broader crypto prices were largely lower on Friday, tracking Bitcoin. Earlier this week, the world's biggest corporate holder of Bitcoin Strategy revealed yet another sale of the asset, unloading 1,690 Bitcoins for an aggregate net proceeds of $108.6 million. The move weighed on crypto sentiment, with most altcoins headed for weekly losses. World number two, crypto Ether, fell 0.5% and was down for the week. World number three, crypto XRP, shed 0.9% and slipped 2.6% for the week. Ahead, we have many major ASX companies reporting over the next couple of weeks, including BlueScope, Steel, JB Hi-Fi, and National Australia Bank. And on the data front, Westpac August Consumer Confidence is going to be released on Tuesday, second quarter wage price data on Wednesday, and July's labour force report on Thursday. And the Reserve Bank of Australia Deputy Governor Andrew Hawser will participate in a fireside chat at the Queensland Futures Institute Annual Regions Summit on Wednesday. Elsewhere, the Trump administration is poised to slap 50% tariffs on a wide range of Canadian-made products on Wednesday. If implemented, the tariffs are expected to prove a major hurdle in the future of the Canada-Mexico-US trade pact. And the Federal Reserve is set to release minutes from its July policy meeting on Wednesday, potentially providing some clarity on Chairman Kevin Warsh's confusing post-meeting comments. So all up, more data incoming, yes, but the broader questions about inflation, money supply, energy, and AI investments and returns, all big issues, will continue to bubble along over the next few weeks. Company results have been good, perhaps too good, but there are still big questions in play in markets which I think remain valued for perfection. So we'll see how that plays out. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.